holy expectation. It's in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps his truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 303, the stanza 2 and 3. 303, the stanza 2 and 3, where we will sing together. Thy people will be gladly thine when thou shalt come in might, like dawning day, like hopeful youth, with holy beauty bright. 2 and 3, 303. Holy Scriptures can be found in the second letter of Paul to Timothy, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 8. But before we listen to the Holy Law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Timothy 4, starting at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so far.
Pray to the Lord in prayer. Ah, Lord, shine upon us once more. Again, once more, Lord. For we in ourselves are darkness, but thou art the Son of righteousness, shining in every corning, convicting, but covering too, taking away the darkness and showing thy righteousness as a light. In thy light we'll see the light. We confess this morning that we are not worthy, and we easily can say it, but really it is present upon our souls to be beggars this morning. But we draw nigh unto thee anyways, Lord, even if thou would say, over with thee. Thou art good anyways, and we are not. And therefore we pray that thou would visit us in thy word and spirit. Reveal thyself to those who love thy appearance, thy return to come back, and restore what thy Father has created never to be able to be fallen again, established from eternity to eternity, thy kingdom. Lord, open thereunto thy word, that we may understand it proper, the little ones and the older, the fool and the wise, the poor and the rich, the blind and those who see, the lame and who can't walk anymore, and those who run in the race by grace. Lord, open the scriptures, extend thy kingdom personally in members, but also in depth, in truth, in knowledge. For thy kingdom rules over everything, in nature and in grace, in time, past and future. Remember, the world, it's going to be worse, Lord. Although we see in these days that sins are exposed, but what a rotten world we made of it, misusing women and other people, thou knowest, killing for idol's sake, persecuting Christians, we're praying for the government and don't have the idea to establish a new government. For the kingdom of thee is not of this world. It's sometimes so hidden that we think there is no kingdom anymore. Elijah thought it. He saw, take me away and then it's over with all. But it's not his kingdom, not our kingdom, it's thy kingdom, and it will come. Therefore thou hast said that thy kingdom may come, that thou would rule us as it is ruled in heaven, heaven and earth together, and that thy majestic ruling, thy gracious, eternal ruling in Christ, the King of Kings. Our Lord, we lift up our hearts unto thee, and if we can, take our hearts unto thyself, that thou mayest open the scriptures when we this morning see the desire of an apostle to be with thee, to die, to live, to leave, to come home eternally. We pray for the sick and afflicted, the widow and the widowers, the orphans and half orphans, the broken families, and those who suffer, not speaking about it. Those who are in institutions or old age homes, mourning families, and especially when we think that we lost a father or a husband, and the longer it is, the more painful it seems. But if we have lost them then today, it should be our joy, for that's not lost, it's gained. Gained in glory. Lord, open the scriptures, please. We are fools and blind, but in thy light we see the light. Therefore enlighten us with thy spirit, who gave us the word. Remember the guests and those who are in church, week by week. Please, Lord, please, apply it to the hearts, that we may know these and that one is born again in Zion, at the altar of the burnt offering of Christ. Open there into the scriptures, we ask it, please. Remember the mission to Matthias and Stephanus and other missions in East Europe, the work in Quebec and Haiti and Benin, in Malawi with those working, with those who don't know or have no resources to feed the family, looks like. But Lord, they are more than the birds, isn't it? Please take care where people don't care. We ask all these things, Lord, not because we deserve, but pleading upon thy righteousness and good pleasure from eternity. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Congregation, we have to deal in the Heidelberg Catechism with the death of the Lord Jesus. He died. But in the Catechism, it's always connected to the death of the people of God. Therefore, the Heidelberg Catechism is a book of comfort. What means the death of Christ for the death of a Christian? It's all. He's the firstborn of death. He opens the doors of righteousness into eternal glory. And Paul is speaking about it in this second letter when he is for the second time judged. The first time he was released, and probably he went to Spain for a little bit, and in Europe some have said that even went to England, to the Isles. Church history says it. Bible doesn't say it proper, but church history says it, that he was in England and preached there like in Spain. But anyways, that's not so important. The important is he has been caught for the second time and judged in the courts of the emperor and sentenced to death. And he's waiting for it, for the execution. He writes one of the last letters to his son in grace, Timotheus. He endeavors him and charges him to be faithful in preaching the word, being an herald of the word of God, knowing that he will suffer for it. That's always. Preaching the word is suffering in this world as we are now in. But anyways, he warns Timothy that he shouldn't be afraid of all the things that's coming. And he knows that even congregations will split. Will have other ministers, which they like better. They have itching ears. Itching ears, you need to scratch them. You're itching. You like only pleasure preaching, but not conviction and not exhortation and not reproaching. You always want only to listen and hear the gospel, not the law, or preparing for the gospel. But he says, don't fear. It will happen anyways. The divisions will come in churches, in the church. Immediately after the Reformation already, divisions came. I'm not going into details, but that happened. It made even Luther hopeless. He said, what's going on with this work of grace? Will it end in nothing? But separations and divisions will come, he said. But then he says, I have to go. I must go and I will go. I will leave this world. And I'm reading the text verses. For, that's reason, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, happily, not to me only, he said, but unto all them that love his appearance. If you look superficially or just listening to the words, it seems to be that Paul is a hero. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. If you listen carefully or not carefully, not understanding what he says here, it seems to be that he is the hero. I have. But congregation, it's all of grace. We have to listen to the scriptures. He has because God has. And we'll see it. At the end he says, I'm passing. And the righteous judge of which you have spoken in the first verse, therefore before God, I charge thee, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge Christ the judge. The righteous judge is Christ. Christ is the righteous judge. But that righteous judge will give him a crown of righteousness. The crown of the righteousness. The crown of the forgiveness of sins. That's said here. The crown of the forgiveness of sins. He'll give me that crown. Stephanos, it says. It's a crown of victory. The emperors and the generals, when they had a victory in the Roman Empire, they were crowned with Stephanos, with crowns of leaves, as victors. And he will give me that crown of victory, of glory, in the day when I pass away. Not to make him great, but he got the victory free by him who loved him. He was victor in the strife. We'll go text by text and see the godly death of a servant of God, of which he speaks in these three verses. But let's first sing 203, 2 through 5, 203, 205. Two through five, I mean. Thy counsel through my earthly way shall guide me and control, and then to glory afterwards thou wilt receive my soul and what's for. Last words are always important. Last words of a departing soul must be very important to souls who once will also depart. We will depart. And therefore he exhorted Timothy to continue in the ministry even when he was gone, when he departed to a better, glorious kingdom. He says, For I am now ready to be offered. I'm now ready to be offered. In the English translation, the King James Version, it said offered. But it's a libation, it's a drink offering originally. Christ is offered. But he says, I will be offered as a drink offering. And the drink offering was offered by a quarter of a liter of wine. And when the sacrifice was offered, the blood was first sprinkled on the altar. For God needs to be reconciled by payment, the payment of the death of the Lord Jesus. But it was not only sprinkled at the top of the altar, it was also sprinkled at the bottom of the altar. For what? Well, for the application of the blood to the souls of him. Owned by him, chosen by him, saved by him, glorified by him. So it was sprinkled on the altar and it was sprinkled at the bottom of the altar. There's always two ways. God justifies himself by the sacrifice of Jesus, and he justifies his sinners by the sacrifice of Jesus. Do you understand me? Always two ways. God needs to be justified. He asks justification, and he gives justification by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. But the drink offering was always accompanied with such a sacrifice. At the east side of the altar there was a kelk, I don't know, and they poured in the wine, and the wine went to the bottom of the altar, and from the bottom of the altar it went into the big, or the river Kidron, the brook Kidron. Now what I mean is, he says, now I'm ready, my blood as wine is sacrificed as a drink sacrifice, and it goes to the bottom of the altar in the brook of Kidron. What does that mean? Does Christ need another altar? Another sacrifice? No, once for all. But that wine sacrifice was a thanksgiving sacrifice. And that wine sacrifice, or that libation or drink sacrifice, came at the bottom of the altar, thanking God, praising him for the unspeakable gift of the sacrifice of Jesus. It was not adding to it. It was praising the sacrifice of Jesus. The blood of Paul, when he was sacrificed, was praising the blood of Jesus. Do you understand me? His death was even praising the sacrifice of Jesus. That's grace. He says, my death will praise the death, the reconciliation of my precious Savior. Oh, what a wonder if my death would be to praise the death of Jesus. The blood at the bottom of the altar is a free willing gift. as a thanksgiving gift. Therefore, that blood or that wine wasn't put and sprinkled on the top. Our sacrifices can please God, only Christ. But it was sprinkled and came to the bottom as a merciful, gracious, God praising, to be praised by His people. Congregation, if my death and your death would be to the praise of the sacrifice of Jesus. What a wonder would it be? For I am now ready, he says. I'm ready. Made ready to pledge my blood as a martyr of the Lord Jesus to praise His sacrifice, the gates of righteousness opened to my soul. This verse. So again, he doesn't praise, and I say he doesn't praise his sacrifice. He doesn't say, I'm ready and I'm so good by being a martyr for Jesus. Nonsense! He praised the sacrifice of his beloved master applied to his soul and to the glory of God. And the time of my departure is at hand. He doesn't say the time of my end is at hand. It's like the departure from the one country to the other. I'm leaving this world, going to the New Jerusalem, and it's near, he says. At hand. Very near. Might be a day or a week, but today. He did say it with hope. He didn't say, now it's all over. No, he said, it's beginning. Precious is in the eyes of the Lord the death of his people. We sometimes think when I pass by this world, it's all over, it's just beginning. Beginning here, glorious day in his everlasting presence, passing from this world to a new world where is no sin, where we don't need a sun to shine, but the Sun of Righteousness shines everyone. God shines upon his people in glory. The time of my departure. Pastor, I can't miss Paul, says Timothy. Timothy, I'm departing. Time has come. When is your time to depart? And where are you going? It's your departure. Be honest. Where are you going? Where are you going when you depart one of these days? For a better or for a worse? Paul knew praising the sacrifice, his sins were forgiven. He was justified. He had peace with God, and by faith he knows, and he knew, that the gates of righteousness would be opened to him from everlasting to everlasting, by grace. a good fight. Is fighting good? I have fought a good fight. What she says, a good fighter? No, he wasn't. Yeah, but I fought a good fight. I wrestled with it this night and this week. And I thought, where can I find such a fight in the Bible? Plain and clear. And God brought me to Peniel, where a man fought with Jacob. That's the good fight, if God fights with you. He says, God has fought with me. Before my conversion already, my heels were pricked. God put pricks against my heels. Whom he loves, he chastises. He doesn't allow you to continue in sin. He shows your misbehaviors. It's the spirit that fights with the flesh. And sometimes I don't like it. I want to go my own ways. But at the end, David says, the ways of the Lord are difficult. No, perfect. If he wouldn't fight with me, I was lost. He struggled with me. He carried me. He says, I had pain with my people for 40 years. He keeps up with me. And if I turn the wrong path, he gathers me, brings me back in due places. That's a good fight. That's not a bad fight. That's not an evil fight. But I have to say more about it. If God fights with you, do you know what John the Baptist said? Therefore, it's a good fight. He says, he is stronger than me. Therefore, I will come home. That fight will be over when this corruptible will put on incorruption. When this sinful I will be buried. When the Spirit and the Bride say, come, O ye my Bride, come. For flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. You know, the good fight is, if God wins and you lose. Last week we dealt with Moses, you remember? And they fought to keep him alive. And when they lost their battle, God kept him alive. God's people can do what the world does. The ungodly is rich and is blooming. God's people, Psalm 73:37, he says, the hand of the Lord is always upon me. And I saw in the ministry in the 40 years that God gave me, God converting people, I saw God handling them, subduing them. And I need to be subdued, but that fight will be At last, over. When I will be released from this corruptible, this dishonoring flesh that never subdues to the will of God. My old nature won't be converted. It must be buried and subdued by the grace of God. The Spirit wrestles. Why do you say this? This is the battle. But my God, in this battle is stronger than I am. His ways are perfect. You have some tries to walk away a bit and seek the glory of the world. Did he allow it? For he loved you. Therefore he drew you with cords of compassion. Repenting. Luther says in the first of the 95 theses, true repentance is the power of sanctification. And the Spirit humbles to repent, to believe, to trust. Congregation, what a day will it be when I don't fight my God anymore? When I don't know it better all, I do. When the body of sin is not provoking my Savior anymore. Therefore the Spirit says, come. And the bride says, come, O beloved, come. That's the good fight. Paul asked to be delivered from a special sin. And he asked it three times. And then the Lord answered him with both answers. The first place he says, my grace is sufficient for you. The sacrifice that I once sacrificed for you is enough. Secondly, with my strength is made perfect when you lose. How long are you fighting him? Oh, you're unconverted. How long are you resisting his Spirit? It won't last always. There comes a time. The time is over for you. What a grace would it be if this morning you had to surrender all your sins, all your weaknesses. And he would be your emperor, your ruler, for he is very gracious and mighty. So it's not my fight. He wasn't a hero. God's people are not heroes. They have a hero. They are more than victorious in afflictions in him. I've seen people wrestling with sins. And the more you wrestle with it, the more attractive they become. Do you hear me? But if you lose the battle, Psalm 65, the second verse says it. They won a battle, sin won the battle, but he redeems. You want to be better, dear, you get worse. But if you are worse and not to be healed anymore, he'll heal you. For he is mightier than I am. It's a strange rule, the kingdom of God. In this world you have to fight to win. But if you lose your life because of Christ, you'll gain it. But if you try to get and gain it, you'll lose it. It's strange rules in the kingdom of God. Wonderful, gracious rules. If you pass away this week, dear, what will be your last words? Glory to God who won the battle against me. That's the good fight. To lose it. That he might be victorious. The victor. In that battle you lost of him. So it's not I. It's not me the fighter. It's me the loser. Victorious. In Christ. Pastor, that doesn't gain up. Oh, I know. Yeah, worldly rules, but God has different rules. It's all of grace and nothing of you. Therefore, dear, it's all of grace and nothing of me and of you. I finished my course. Congregation, I should even have explained it more. The good fight is wrestling. Agona. Now, I told you the practice of it. Jacob wrestled with God. No. God wrestled with Jacob. And when he won, God won. It's a biblical example. I've seen people fighting with sin and being more sinful. Yeah, but you should fight with sin. He should fight with your sin. Look to Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan knew it. He is victorious. That's wrestling. But then the second example Paul gives is to run the race. The race of faith. I've fought a good fight. And I finished my course. I've come to the end of my race. My walk through life. It's running the race of faith. How then? By the forerunner. He is the Alpha and the Omega, that's it. God's people have a forerunner. Look into the forerunner. If you run the faith without a forerunner, you will really go away and distract. Hebrew says it. The finisher of faith. Do you know when I finished? Because he finished the course. Therefore I finished the course. By faith. The word finish is here. That's the same word as the word on the cross. Tetelestai. It's finished. I finished my course because he finished my course. No, Pastor. Yeah, I did. It is finished. And I finish it by faith in the forerunner. Paul is not bragging. Although he has said sometimes in the Bible that you should run the run. To get the prize. But he doesn't depend on his powers in that running. It's the walk of faith, trusting in Him, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Paul is not bragging. He said, I made it. I'm a Christian. I can do it. That's liberalism to the bottom that brings it to hell, to death. But I trust in the finisher of faith. And while He finished, I'll finish in Him. May I say it by faith already? I have finished it, although I didn't finish it. He finished it for me. Pastor, now I see someone looking at me and said, that's too easy for me. That's hard. You want to do it yourself and get the crown. But He gets the crown and He gives the crown to you. We come to it. Now you turn it upside down, the whole Bible, Pastor. No, you're turning it upside down when you think you can do it. Out of Him, through Him, and unto Him are all things. Therefore we have a strange congregation, I tell you this. Everyone is bragging to be a saint. But I am not a saint. He is my saint. And I will call saint. He says, you are my saint because I'm your saint. No? No? How far are you? How far are you? Didn't you stop? Give up? Look into the finisher of faith. It's like the soldier who walks behind his general. Come on. I can't anymore. I draw you. Pastor, Lord, I'm too tired. I carry you. You will be where I am, for that is my desire. One day, we'll see His glory. I've kept the faith. Oh, what a good man kept the faith. What a good man kept the faith. If you read it superficial, then you would say, what a good man, he kept the faith. He kept the faith. Oh, what a good man, good man. And I said, Lord, how is it that he kept the faith? And the Lord showed me, Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fails not. Precious Lord, He kept the faith for me, in me. He prayed for me that my faith wouldn't fail. Is it? Do you know what's in my soul now? All what's glorious in Him is glorious. If He is an all, for me and nothing. He prayed for me while I seemed to lose my faith, given up the battle, trusting the lies of the devil. That's all in vain. It was only psychology, my conversion. He said, do you think it's really conversion? It's psychology. It's imagination. You think your sins are forgiven if you are that bad still? Imagination! You have to prove it! And Peter cursed. And he said, I don't know him. And Christ said to his Father, but I know Peter. And I pray that his faith fails not. Wonderful. I've kept the faith, for he has kept me until now. Let's sing 422, the sixth stanza, 422, the sixth stanza. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is air, our fortress and our tower. 6:422. Henceforth, I'm waiting for it, he says. Henceforth, there is laid up for me, it's already laid up for me. It's waiting for me, I wait and it waits for me. Do you know why I wait? For it waits for me. I'm not waiting in vain. It's laid up already. Some people say, I wait and I don't know. No. Paul doesn't say these things. He says, henceforth is laid up for me a crown, a Stephanos, it says. That's a crown of victory. But it says the crown of righteousness. Now I have to explain it more because it's not self-righteousness. The crown is not given to self-righteousness. The crown is not given to your good works. You have no in the sight of God. But the crown is given to the justification to those who have their sins forgiven. They are justified by the blood of Christ, sprinkled on the altar and at the bottom of the altar, applied to the hearts. When you're righteous before God, not with your own righteousness and self-righteousness, with the righteousness of Christ, you'll get a crown. You get His crown. We have sung it, didn't we? Pastor, I won't need a crown. I am not worthy to get a crown. No, He is. And He says, you share my crown with me. He gives a crown. Paul in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15 says, He gives the victory. Who shall deliver me of the body of sin? Then he says, He gives the victory. I'm not a victor. He is a victor. In all these things we are more than victorious in Him. Please, please, congregation. If they say you have to win the battle, it's lost before you start. But when your sins, and therefore you see it again, your sins need to be forgiven. The blood sprinkled and your thanksgiving sacrifice added. You need to know, you need to know that your sins are forgiven. And there has been a time that you could thank the Lord for it. And if that hasn't happened, your sins are not forgiven yet. You suppose it. Therefore the wine. That's the one side. But then you will be crowned as a righteous in Him, with the crown of the King of Glory, sitting with Him in the kingly seat, governing the world, sharing His glory. While you have shared His suffering, you will share His glory. And the glory is more exceedingly grown than the suffering you suffer in this world. Therefore the martyrs didn't kiss the Corpus Christi on the Roman Catholic Church, but they went in glory. Stephanus, when he was stoned, his face was shining, do you know? He saw Christ in glory. What a lay, what a day. When your sins are forgiven and you wait for the glory of the Lord Jesus to share in it. Unworthy in yourself. But Paul says, it's laid up for me already. For He is victorious. And He is glorious. And therefore I wait, he says. I'm near, Timothy. One step, three steps, 1 hour, a day, 2 days. Sometimes I'm desiring. I cried by preparing. And I saw it's all of Him. It's all through Him. And it will be all unto Him. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful King and glory. When the heavens received him, they were jubilant. But now he said, where I am, you will be. And sit in my seat in glory. And I will say probably, but then I won't object him anymore. But if I think now about it, I would say, oh God, I don't deserve the crown of glory. I deserve a crown of thorns. But he says to me, I took your crown of thorns and I'll give you my crown of glory. I've loved you with an eternal love. I've satisfied my Father for your sins. I've applied it, and you have been thankful for it. You have praised me for it. Love and peace. You know it? You know it. And now the end of your travel through the desert of afflictions has come. When I lay down the body of sin in incorruption, I will raise in incorruption. When I lay the body of sin in corruption, I will be raised in incorruption like the Lord Jesus. Not as Jesus. He's God and I'm man. I've seen the glory of the Lord Jesus once, and the glory. Do you know why God's people is happy in heaven? God is happy in heaven. Therefore I'm happy in heaven. His face shines, and therefore you shine. That's love. That's love of Christ. When he shines, when he sees you, coming out of the afflictions, the desert of murmurings. When will there be, Lord? Will it be, Lord? Yeah, but not because you're so faithful in walking and dying and living and doing. No, no, no. But me, I am your God. With a drawn you out of the land of Egypt, through the desert, to Canaan, to New Jerusalem, where we will part in the seat of Jesus. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, he gives it as a righteous judge. Yeah, but that righteous judge could condemn me, Pastor, if you're a Christian. He says, well then, faithful servant, for I did it for you. What did you do for him then? You promised a lot, paid nothing, is it? And if you tried to paint it, it was broken out of your hands. God worse even. But your good works are shining sins. I'm only trusting, says Paul, in the righteousness of Jesus applied by his blood. Wash me away from all sins. I feel resistance with some souls here. They don't want to be dishonored. They want to be honored themselves. But God's people says, dishonor me, but honor my Savior, please. That's my joy. That was this night my joy. This was my joy. This is my joy. Everlastingly. He shall give to me, he says, in hope they are saved. Faith doesn't say that. He shall give it to me. Gift, not earned. Gift. Earned the crown of thorns. Given a gift of victory. At that day, this week, dear, tomorrow, this day, and not only to me, Paul sees the whole church. Grace is not only particular. Grace is the whole church. And who is the church? But unto all them that love his appearance, that loved his first appearance as a servant, to be their substitute. Have you loved him in his substitution? Is the lamb slaughtered for your sins, pleasing God? Secondly, has he appeared to you, revealed, in the darkest hour, when he convicted you of hell and death and sin? Has he revealed, has he put himself between you and the judge? Has he? Has he given his love to you when he died for sinners still? Has you loved his appearance because he loved you first? When I think about my dear Lord Jesus, he loved me while I didn't love him. He died for me when I was even, says Paul, an enemy. But when he revealed himself to me in love, I loved him because he first loved me, shed abroad in my heart by the Spirit of God. With love his appearance. And the Spirit and the bride says, O bridegroom, I'm waiting for that glorious day to be always with thee. Waiting. Expecting. Looking forward to. The best is to be with Jesus. Isn't it, dear friend? No, the best is Jesus being with me. Yeah. The best, O ye people of God, is coming. But you need to know your sins are forgiven, otherwise the crown is not yours. People say today, it can be forgiven you while you didn't know it. Nonsense. Has there been a time for confession? Has there been a time of conviction? Has there been a time of accepting judgment? Has there been a time when he took your judgment away and gave you the crown of mercy and glory? When will that day be, Lord? In my time. Paul said sometimes in the first letter, he says, to stay with you probably is better for the ministry. But I desire to be with Jesus far the best. And now that's a proof of your grace. Yes. Listen, I'm not saying God's people is always the same, but there is that same love that never vanishes. But may I say, has there been a time, and I tell you the time, when God forgave your sins, the same moment you desired to be with Him, your husband knew it. And he got it. And his desire is fulfilled. Love, you know? Love of him to him. Therefore, now I close up. Paul is not the hero. Not the victor. Not the righteous man. But he has a hero, a victor, and he got a strange righteousness, but he didn't put a thumb to it, but was by nature even against it, but enemies, by nature, old nature, rotten nature, by the eternal love of God are reconciled unto God. That he would be praised. Young people, young children, where will you be if you have to die this week? Dear friend, ask to show God. Ask God to show your sins. And to reveal Christ to your soul. Please. Please. Don't jump to the first part. That's idolatry. That's temporal faith. That receiving with joy, without conviction. That's not the way of the forgiveness of sins. Ask it, boy. And the Lord has said He'll give this Spirit to you. Ask it. No, Pastor, I'm not asking it. I know you love your sins, therefore you're not asking for forgiveness. You're swimming in it. You're swimming in it. May God have His grace bestowed upon us all. Amen. Let's end. Ah, Lord, add to thee and to thee by thee and all things. And thou hast overcome me, and let me lose the battle. Let me be a sinner. Let me be a sinner justified by the application of thy righteousness and blood. Let me be no sinner anymore when the last stroke of breath will pass these lips, entering in everlasting peace. Lord, give us grace. The Bible is a norm and the fountain of all mercy. I know he is sitting a sinner, he says, never happened to me. Why does he say it, Lord? I know why he says it, Lord. You want to be a goody-goody, and he can't, and he doesn't need to. Have mercy upon us all, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will end this service by singing 450, that Simeon. The man came to the end, starting a new beginning. Now may thy servant, Lord, according to thy word, depart in exaltation. That's 1 and 2, 450. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.